That's live. That is.
We are ready for a start here. I want to welcome everybody and thank you very much for coming to the Racing Fan Advisory Council Forum. My name is Patrick Connors and I teach at Albany Law School and I'm the chair of the Racing Fan Advisory Council. To my left is Kelly Young. Kelly is the Senior Associate Director for National Affairs for the New York Farm Bureau. And Kelly, I think, is really our closest contact with the harness side of things. We also do the thoroughbred side of things. Michael Amo, immediately to my right. Michael is the head of the largest racing fan group in the country, Thoroughfan. So you may be aware of Michael through Thoroughfan. And all the way to my right is Michael Mills. Michael Mills is the town clerk for the village of Elmsford. If you're in the...
Town administrator, excuse me.
Did that get changed recently?
No.
I'm sorry. Town administrator for the village of Elmsford. And if you see Michael on the backstretch at Saratoga Racecourse, say hello. He's usually back there. We've done these forums before. We've done one at Aqueduct. We did one at Belmont Park. We've done one at Saratoga. And just about a year ago today, we did one at Yonkers. We're here to get feedback from you on the fan experience. We really don't have jurisdiction over how racing is conducted. We don't have power to make the changes. But what we do is we go out, listen to the fans, and then report to the Gaming Commission. We are essentially an entity of the Gaming Commission, and our job is to seek the input from the fans. We put together a report at the end of the year, and we're working on the 2013 report now. With that, I'll open it up to any comments you may have or questions you may have for the group.
Do they have a mic to talk to?
Yeah.
Somebody like to break the ice?
Nikki will run the mic. You want Nikki to run the mic for her?
She'd like.
Is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
Thank you. Up there, Nick, and way in the back.
Oh, right here. Nick.
He had his hand up and stood up first, I thought. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Sure. My name is Finneran. Lifelong thoroughbred racing fan, and I'm pretty much a daily communicant here at the church. What I'd love to see is, I know that you don't have power, but at least you could recommend if there was some way that they could stop the odds from changing after the race had started. I know it's been a long and painful affair, but that would be one thing. And the second thing is we could have a replay center here so that we could watch old races before we donate our money to the care and feeding of the horses. That's my personal challenge. Those are two things that come immediately to mind. Thank you.
Okay, just let me ask, have they ever had a replay center here at the track?
Yes.
Okay, I know there's at the NYRA tracks they have replay centers, but that's a good suggestion.
This gentleman?
I'm back.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Mike. This concerns harness racing. I'm an owner, been an owner for 25 years. To me, the industry's fallen apart. As far as fan base, it's neglected. The fans you do have at harness tracks, not just this track, every track in New York State, they hear the same things. As a horseman, we're tired of people doing illegal things up here, drugging up horses. They only test for a certain amount of things. And how can we take anything the state has with confidence, everything we say falls on deaf ears. One of the biggest cases that the state had in front of them was a train of local Romania. Mm-hmm. All right? I'm sure you were probably aware of it. Mm-hmm. And the state commission paperwork was late, and he still had to train. And this guy, when he trained, his training percentage was probably like a 500, which is like comparable to a baseball average. So everybody knows, fans, trainers, sportsmen, they know what he's doing is illegal. Everybody knows this. Why does not the state know this? It's almost like they're turning a blind eye to it. This is why we can't get people to come to the track, because people say the same thing. Why should we come up here? The horses are being drugged up. Races are fixed. Everybody's in on it. If everybody knows about it, why can't the commission do something about it? It's like steroids in baseball. They're finally putting an end to it. If we had stiffer penalties, this would stop. And since we don't have stiffer penalties, to everybody who comes up here, there's a lot of fans that come to this harness track. They look at it like the state's turning a blind eye to it. They don't really care. And that's a huge concern.
Do you want to have any comments?
Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely. Certain tracks, they test for so many different substances horses have. And when people get caught, it's like the penalties aren't even stiff. When they get caught, it's like 6 months. And then what happens after that, they put their horses' names and other trainers' names. They're still doing the same thing to the trainers. I mean, 6 months is up, the people come back to the track, they got kicked out of them. So if the penalties aren't stiff, it's going to continue. And it doesn't stop. It's been going on for years. I'm a horse owner. I own a trotter. You can trot 58. Usually, if you can trot 58 as an owner, you can win a lot of money. And this year, I lost a lot of money because there have been races I raced against trotters who were going 56, so I know my horse is better than that. And you walk around the track, yeah, it's like the hardcore fans, the people who bet up here, they're tired of it. I'm up here almost every night, and I hear the same thing from the same crowd, and it's such a small crowd because they can't get new people to come here. And like I said, I'm a horseman, I love it, but you're never going to get people to come up here unless you change. It's never going to happen. And bettors, gamblers, horsemen, they know they come second. It's like the casino comes first, and everybody comes second. They understand that. But there are a lot of people who love the sport. They don't want to see it go away. But if nothing's going to be done, you're not going to attract new people here.
Can I respond quickly? Harness racing is kind of my bailiwick, and integrity is a key issue for all racing and all sports, let's be honest, and I care a lot about integrity, and it's something we need to focus on, but in defense of the old Racing Wagering Board and the new Gaming Commission, I think they have been progressive compared to other racing commissions in some of their efforts to deal with this issue. So, I mean, in all fairness, it's a difficult challenge. It's hard to get arms around. The legal process kind of thwarts this to some degree. I know the Gaming Commission is working on a new medication process, and they have a hearing process that's part of that. I'd suggest being involved in that, too, and offering some input from the horseman's side, which I know is part of that process, but I think it's important for the horsemen to be really engaged in that going forward, because we're all trying to conquer this issue, and it's very complex, and it does get to the heart of our sport and the integrity in the sport. So I appreciate your comments, certainly.
I know other tracks have detention barns, mm-hmm. and a lot of trainers up here that are trying to get a detention barn up here. How come we can't get one here when they have them in other tracks? Is it a track decision for that, or is this like a state commission decision?
I don't know the answer.
Tracks are like completely different. In New York State, they should all be run the same way. And it's like each track is like different the way they run things. It's almost like you're welcome to bring your horses here and do what you want here, but here you can't. And the people that can't do them in certain tracks, they won't go there. Land the tracks where they can do this kind of stuff.
I think that's something definitely to continue having a conversation about. So. Is that your Horsemen's Association?
If there's an inquiry done today, who are you going to report to? Will this fall on deaf ears, or will somebody actually hear these concerns?
No, we will. You know, while I'm sitting here now, and we all are doing is taking notes. And what we're going to do is put together a report at the end of the year. And if you look at our 2012 report, you'll see that we summarize the comments made at each forum.
and then we make a series of recommendations.
Well, the other forms you were on, are you aware of these issues? Have other people brought up these issues when you were down in New York?
When we were at Yonkers, they did not bring up the issue of inconsistency in procedures at the tracks. And I think in part because we didn't have a lot of owners at that forum. I'm glad you're here because I think you're closely tied to the fan experience. But I can double check the report, and you can see it. It's online. Our website is listed here on the brochure. But I don't think anyone made a comment about that. I think it's a very good comment, and it's something that we're going to consider.
Yeah, to their credit, Yonkers has cracked down on this. Like I said, a lot of tracks do crack down on this. But if it's concerning New York State, which that's the only thing I'm concerned about, it's like how come they all can't be like united with these rules and to stop this? Because I look at it like it can easily be stopped. If it's being stopped at some tracks, it can easily be stopped at other tracks.
Can I just ask you a question? Is there a track in particular that you see as a model for procedure that we could take a look at their procedures?
I see some tracks out of state that are model. I mean, you look at Vernon Downs, and now they have a detention barn. And I look when they have a detention barn, some of the trainers who are really under suspicion, their training percentages have really decreased with that. So to anybody who follows it, it's common sense why it's decreased. And I know up here, a lot of the horsemen in the backstretch talk about this, and there's rumor that they might have it up here too, which is going to help. I mean, there are horsemen up here who have been training for 30, 35 years who are really great horsemen. My trainer is a really good trainer. He got my horse leg injury. He had 5 screws in his leg. He said he couldn't race again. All right, my trainer, he doesn't have a lot of wins this year, but he knows what he's doing. And you see people here, other tracks, 22, 23 years old, with horses improving them like 3-4 seconds, winning them out of a horse. As an owner, it's discerning because I love the sport, and you just can't make any money when you're going up against things like this. So it's a huge issue. This is probably the biggest issue in New York State harness races when I'm bringing up today.
Let me just conclude your comment. Pat mentioned the website, but you know, like we all know that numbers make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so we have an email. It's racingfan@gaming.newny.gov. Send us comments, everybody, because if we can get a number of consistent statements from you online that these are the issues that are important, they're likely to make it into the report.
But that's the thing.
Just try to encourage your fans, your friends, your fans to email us.
It's the sad part is you just don't have a lot of fans who are here. I mean, I recognize some of the faces who are here, but you don't have a lot of fans who are here. And the ones that are upset about it, they don't know where to go to. They don't know who to talk to about this. So
right here.
It's like really difficult.
Come to racingfan@gaming.newyork.gov. Start there.
All right, I'll give somebody else a chance. They have other
things, okay.
But. Thank you.
Over here.
Wait a minute.
Could you hold on a minute? We got a microphone coming. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hold the microphone? I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry.
Again, I believe owners are...
Is that on, Nick?
Owners are aware of what the trainers do, for the most part. If the penalty affected the owners of the horses, this is harness racing, as it does the trainer, rather than just switch a trainer to a different name, if the owner was affected by it, that would clean up the action also. If the owners depend on it. They're not blind.
Yeah.
Their horse can go 4 seconds quicker in 2 weeks. Not the trend matter.
Yeah, that, I guess in the legal circles we call that vicarious liability, and you're responsible for your agents.
Right.
And it's strict liability. You can't, you know, say, "Oh, I didn't know." I haven't seen that. I mean, we have that really. Trainers are strictly liable, at least on the thoroughbred side, for their agents. But I've never seen a jurisdiction that penalizes the owner. It's a thought. And are you aware of a jurisdiction that actually penalizes the owner?
No, I'm asking, why isn't it? Vicarious liability,
Yeah.
I think it's, if you can go, of course, I've got the exact website here, but on Thursday, Congress had hearings, the United States Congress had hearings on drug use in predominantly thoroughbred racing, but in racing. And there were a number of papers presented, one by Dr. Sheila Lyons from Florida, that addressed some of those issues. I recommend you take a look at that. It's the Subcommittee on Agriculture. I think I don't have it in front of me, but I can get it for you. But a lot of papers, pros and cons, interesting points that might give you some insight.
I think there's somewhere you can put that up on the Bain Council website.
Sure, I can put that up. I can get it. I can get it. Yeah, we'll get it. Again. Somebody else must have comments.
Another thing that gets lost in the shuffle, too.
Jim, very quickly. Can I ask you just quickly, do you have a response to that?
I do have a response to that. I just wanted to add something to it. I'm an owner. I kind of agree. I think some owners do know what's going on, but some owners don't also. So that's, that's kind of like a gray area right there, what he said. But no, what lost in the shuffle, too, is the care for the horses. I can give you so many examples of how many horses, after a couple of years of abuse like this, have just broken down and just like either retired or just died. And nobody talks about the care of horses either, which is huge. People just care about how much you can win, but there have been a lot of cases. I'm sure you're probably aware of it. I can name names, but I don't want to get into names right now. But yeah, it's really bad.
Gee, I never heard a fan be so quiet. When I'm in the simulcast center, everybody's got an opinion. Here, nobody has an opinion.
I have an opinion.
Thank you.
I'm a fan. I'm not an owner. I'm not a trainer. I'm a fan. I've been a fan for over 40 years. Mostly, in fact, almost exclusively, at thoroughbreds. But I do appreciate the harness side of the industry. And fan experience on both sides needs to be improved. And I think the Gaming Commission can allow facilities for their fans to have a better experience in a couple different ways. One is, when I was a kid, it was illegal for people to use phones in the racetrack. Okay? Some people here remember that, some people may not. But when I was a kid, my grandfather used to take me to the track. You couldn't use a phone, there were no phones, and when cell phones started to come out, they even prohibited people from using cell phones. It's a completely different information age that we live in now. Totally the opposite. The ability to get information can make the fan experience a much better time. You get more information, you can make better decisions, you're more involved with more decisions that affect your outcome. Because it's all in your hands. When you go up to that window and you bet, or you just even just rooted for a horse, you want to know as much as you can before the race goes off. I think the Gaming Commission should allow a series of regulations which either, I'm not so sure I want to use the word mandate, but at least free up the ability for simulcast locations and racetracks to have as wide a wireless environment as possible. Mm-hmm. I go almost every day over to the flat track when it's open. The wireless is wide open and free and available there, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm seeing now. We don't have wireless here.
The wireless here, that's Saratoga Casino's decision, and I respect that. I can bring my smartphone here, and I can hook up to the AT&T data network, and I can do anything that they prohibit me from doing. So it's really, to me, it doesn't even make sense why they would not have a free wireless environment here. When I pay extra, and I use the AT&T data network, and I can get online, and I can watch race replays on my smartphone. Mm-hmm. I can do all kinds of things to enhance my experience as a bettor. And, for Saratoga, as an ADW, my simulcast location, they want me to bet more money. They want me to be a customer who puts his money through the windows and backs up his opinion. Information makes that available. Information makes me want to do that with a better opinion, so I have a better experience. I think the Gaming Commission should do whatever it is within its rules and regulations
free up the ability for these locations to get over the mental attitude of this is not 1960 where phones are prohibited at the racetrack. Okay? It's a whole new era. And I can come in here and sure, I can bet on another ADW. I can sit here at Saratoga and use their heat and use their lights. You know, I can bet off of higher rewards. But you know, I can do that over at the racetrack. I can go over there and I can bet on Saratoga bets, which I do.
Yeah.
And I'm at the Nairo facility. So the idea of, you know, some places not having wireless available, some places having it, and that inconsistency is something that I think if the state addressed it in some consistent manner, might make for a better fan experience. The other thing that the State Gaming and Racing Commission can do is they can free up the ability of a place like this to provide a better incentive and reward system for the players at Simulcast, just like they do for the players at the casino. If they don't give a place like Saratoga Casino the ability for the upstairs patron to get, you know, Saratoga Bets, their ADW, does a really good job in trying to the best of their ability to provide some incentives online, you know, rebates or matching deposits, you know, whatever they can do. But it's not nearly the same as what the state affords the racinos. And with the passage of the proposal in November to have full-fledged casinos in the state, I think the State Gaming Commission ought to consider what it can do to, if they want to support racing, okay, they need to give the people who put on the ability to collect a bet and make a payout or put on a product, they need to give those folks the same ability that they give the casinos to draw their patrons into the facilities. They're not on par. And it's unfair.
Yeah. Well, so, just 2 points you raise, among others, but two big ones. The Wi-Fi. Absolutely. That's something we pushed for in our 2012 report. I think Nairo was going in that direction, but they did respond to it, and now they've got full Wi-Fi.
The state is not just
Nairo. I know that. Right. I know that. And we've got to put that in our 2013 report. It's got to be a continued request. To point out that that's important for the fans on the thoroughbred side and on the harness side for, as you say, information. I mean, I think you've got a lot of information here. I've spent, you know, all day at the Saratoga race course, and I follow thoroughbreds more than harness, and I've had a lousy day. I come over here, I just listen to Mike Sardell and bet whatever he says, and I've done fine. I have to lose. But
you're on a Sunday today. And through some sort of promotion, I could walk downstairs and get some sort of free play. If I want to come up here and bet the horses, there's no similar incentive whatsoever.
Yeah, now that did come up also at Yonkers, and we have made recommendations on our 2012 report, and we've discussed this a lot in 2013. We think that there should be not just the incentive for the person that's sitting at home betting on their computer. We think the racetracks need to come up for incentives for people like you who are here on site.
Remember, it's not just racetracks, it's also simulcast facilities. This is for me in January, this is a simulcast facility. They don't have our live racing here.
Yeah. And that is something that came up at Yonkers. And I believe Yonkers came up with a system where they were trying to give rewards to the people that were at the simulcast facility, at the track itself.
They were working on it, yeah.
Yeah. And I think those are excellent points, because if we don't give an incentive to the fan to be here, either on this side or on the other side, it's going to be empty pretty soon.
Serious fan base just dying out.
Yeah.
What kind of...
You know, across the street there is the gorgeous place to be. It's a social event. People just go there, spend all day, drink and have fun, and look at the people. Well, what? Why there, and why couldn't that be here? Well, if you look at the facility downstairs, it's not the nicest looking place to be. And I mean, Meadowlands, I believe, we opened last night. They put a lot of money into that. The hope that it's going to grow a fan base. Maybe something there should happen to promote younger people. Go down there on any given night. People my age and older.
What incentives do you guys find the most valuable for a rewards program?
Well, just before, I don't even know if it costs this facility any money. If they get a payday in the casino, you know, if you go over to the horse racing side, here's a $20 betting voucher. I guess it goes into the power mutuals. I don't even know if that costs anything. Or if on this side, they say, come to horse racing, and you get a voucher for a machine inside, again, it's not lost money, it's their money. I don't even know if it would cost, but it might draw people to walk from one side of the facility to the other.
So that's the cross side. What about just on the racing side? What kind of incentives do you find most valuable?
Well, it's different at a racetrack and at some things.
Right. So tell me your thoughts on that.
What about if you're not going to give a betting voucher, which I can understand, okay. What about a coupon book, just like you do for the casino downstairs? And in that coupon book, they do that. They try that here at Saratoga. They do it to some extent, so I have to give them some credit. But I'm talking about, I think they're hamstrung by the state. I don't think the state gives them the flexibility that they give them on the casino side. That's the point I'm really trying to make. If you're going to report back to the state, I want to see you give recommendations that the state can put into a bet. I'm not so concerned about what Saratoga Casino does. That's their decision.
Right, right.
But if the state were to give... I remember when Joe Bruno was still the head of the state senate, okay? I remember seeing him walk into the racetrack one day with a free pass, and he had like a whole entourage of people with him, and they were all walking through the free pass window. And earlier, just before Saratoga opened that summer, they prohibited NYLA from being able to do free passes to get into the racetrack. Okay? So, they don't charge to get in here, and I'm not talking about that type of incentive. But maybe the state could give them the ability as a wagering site to offer, you know, a $10 beverage coupon or food coupon, okay? Well, think about it. What's the food cost? You get a Pepsi, it costs the place probably about 12 cents, and they charge, you know, $1.50 for it. So, if they gave somebody a coupon for three sodas a week, you know, it's going to cost them about 50 cents, and they've given somebody what they perceive as a value. I can come to the simulcast or to the racetrack, and I can get, you know, a free soda, I can get a discount on beer, I can get a free program, I can get a 50% off at the merchandise store. I can, you know, I can remember the last day of Saratoga. The NYRA stores were not offering discounts on Saratoga-branded merchandise that they had done every single year prior to that. So the very last day of racing, there was no discount on any merchandise. I mean, seriously, who's going to buy a 2013 Saratoga-branded item, okay, next year or the year after? Why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you give the fans a reason to be there on the last weekend and say, hey, I can get, you know, 60% off a t-shirt or something like that. It's just little stuff that makes people feel a little bit better about being at the place where they're making a wager that don't necessarily even cost the facility that much money.
Thank you.
Nikki. Yeah, Connie. But what do we do to
I have a comment on that. With our jurisdiction and what we can do, and there's a lot of valid concerns about the perception of horse racing, and then the aftercare for horses, which you mentioned, Michael. There's, I think, certain things deal with marketing, and you're right that the track operators and racing in New York has to be conscious of that if we're going to continue. But I think, and of course with the aftercare of the horses, but we're trying to concentrate on the fan experience and what we can do to improve that. And, you know, you cross a border, I guess, and we've struggled with this where, you know, you're almost into marketing. And that really is not our job. We want to make sure that the people that are coming here have a good experience. It is important to try to bring new people in, but that starts to get beyond what we can do. But I think your comment is a valid one.
Maybe you want to introduce yourself. These are the management folks from the Saratoga Racetrack.
My name is Don Graham. I'm the senior VP for racing operations.
Sorry. Some people ask and they wonder who you were.
My name is Don Graham. I'm the senior VP for racing operations.
I'm John Matarazzo. I'm the director of racing operations.
Alex Evans, simulcast manager.
In fairness, I'm a veteran of over 79 simulcast venues nationwide, and you treat the fans very well here. And this is a nice place to come. I have no needs. It's a nice place to come. You installed high def televisions, the amenities are good, the deli is fine. You'll find out.
I got a question to follow up. Can you expound a little on what things you see here that are good that you don't see other places? You don't have to go into details about where they are not, but what are the things that make it stand?
Have you ever spent a Wednesday afternoon at the Sarasota, Florida Greyhound simulcast? You know exactly what I mean. I'm a veteran of 13 New York City off track betting college. Mm-hmm. And I would venture that probably a number in this group wouldn't go into half of them. If you ever spent an afternoon at 48th Street OTB between 5th and 6th Avenue, you might give up the sport. Mike, you probably have been there. How about the one downstairs, used to be on 7th Avenue around the corner from the restaurant? You wouldn't go into them. But some of these places. This is a very nice place. A nice crowd, an attentive crowd, and it's a great place to come to watch the races. So I congratulate you for that.
I think also to say from the fans and the council, thank you for hosting this and for being interested enough to sit and listen to the fans and hear what the fans need to say. Mm-hmm. That we need to thank you for that.
This is more towards the people of Sarasota. Recognize some of the faces up here. Probably recognize me too. I've been up here for years. It is a great place. I mean, I've been to Yonkers, all the tracks in New York State, and we're all a little bit different as far as like promotions and perks and stuff like that. Some tracks do it really well. For example, Vernon Downs. When you go there in the program, it doesn't matter what night you go, they have a $5 free play at the casino over there, and. Some nights they have dollar concessions, sodas, beers, and stuff like that. You'd be surprised how many people show up for things like that. So I think if you want to get more people to come to Saratoga, bring the same faces. If you do something like that, instead of $5 in a casino, maybe a $5 voucher here. Maybe like on Wednesday nights, like dollar nights, soda, beer, pizza, and things like that. I remember years ago, before we even had the casino here, one night they were giving away free passes for the whole year. You would not believe how long the line was. So many people showed up just for something like that. So I think if you create like more perks, you'll attract more people here. It's a great place. It's like it's centrally located, 25 minutes from Albany, Lake George, 25 minutes. You can get a big crowd up here. I just think if you try something a little bit different, you get more people to go to the track. You already have people in the casino. This casino's loaded almost every day. If you just do something to make them walk 20 feet to the right, come over here and make some bets, you already have the people here. So if you try something like that, I think it would work. I think you'd get more fans. And it's worth giving it a shot.
Just coming from a fan viewpoint, and living in Saratoga for the past 40 years, it's amazing to me how many Saratogians have never been to the Thoroughbred track or to Orange track. There should be something to
thank you.
racetracks to stand on their own. Okay? Why does his gaming commission give better incentives for the casinos than the same gaming commission will allow the racetracks and simulcast locations to have?
I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that I agree with you, and I think I speak for the group, that the tracks need to be authorized to make more incentives available to the fans, and especially the fans that come out to the tracks. It's extremely important. And, you know, you made that point. Several people have made it. You want to feel better about being at the facility and making a wager. And that's something that we are going to recommend, absolutely. And I can't tell you why the incentives are different, but there should be an equally powerful incentive for the tracks to bring the people in. And, you know, I've lived in Saratoga now 13 years, and my experience coming over here, you know, my brother and sister-in-law, when they come up for big days like Triple Crown, they've come over here and say, wow, this is nice. And they wind up playing a few races. I can remember coming many nights with my son to the fireworks, you know, and it was a really exciting night they had here maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It was Bunny Lake running. They broke a track record on July 3rd. It was so exciting to be here. It was packed. They had the fireworks afterwards. And, you know, that's great. I don't know that we can really, you know, a lot of that gets into marketing. But I think you're right. There's a lot here that people don't realize. I love those people that come to Saratoga and think, oh, Saratoga, there's a racetrack. But they think they run, you know, all year round. And they wind up coming here. And, you know, it'd be nice to cap their visitors, but it would be nice to capture that audience.
So what I'm hearing a lot from you, Patrick, is that the issue is that if tracks can market and have the incentives enough to market to bring fans in, then we have to deal with what's the experience that keeps them coming back. You have to capture them once they're here and make it worthwhile being here and make it fun.
And I just want to emphasize, too, that, you know, this you are the people that are here. You're not the people, in essence, that we got to market to bring here. And I think to the extent a track can make you feel like you're a valued customer. I don't know what they can do about the tables. And that must be very frustrating for you people coming on a regular basis, and you're here on Breeders' Cup Day, and you can't get a table. And that would be nice in some way to recognize the regulars who are here on a regular basis.
Can I say something about the table? I don't know if everybody knows this. On Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown, you can run a box for $10 with 4 or 5 chairs in it. You don't need to come here at 8:30 in the morning or whatever to get a table. Now, I don't know about the other days, but I know Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown races. Those tables are available. Or the boxes, I mean, are available for $10 a box. And you've got the box all day.
You know, one of the things I want to give you, a couple of people have mentioned this, why did the governor do this? You may notice on my bio that I'm an elected official. I'm a county legislator in Orange County. Politicians, we don't like to admit that, live and die by the vote and the people that respond to them. We have a thankful that you're here. But ask one of your friends to get more involved, to start emailing us. The more people that talk about these issues, not just one or two, the more impact it's going to have on the process. So we need you. We're here because we want to listen to you. But we need you and all your friends and anybody you know that plays this game to start telling us and the people who have the power to do something what you want. We can be a vehicle for you, but you got to help us out.
For every one of us that is here, I guarantee I can name 20 of my friends who would be here except they don't feel that they're listened to. Because their complaints didn't start yesterday, last month, last year. The problem with you better horse at 5-1, halfway through the race, it's 3-1. That's been 25 years of this nonsense. And I see, for instance, Kentucky. They close the window 30 seconds before the race goes off. There are adjustments, but they're very, very minor. You better horse at 5-1, he's 5-1.
Yep.
some of the VOD's movements are so outrageous, there is only one explanation. And people are so tired of feeling that their requests are falling on deaf ears. So I think that's part of the difficulty, that they've given up. I have a friend of mine, he went to the racetrack 5 days a week forever. Since he was 15 years old till he was 60, he quit. He said, I can't do it anymore. And yikes, what a, this is somebody you didn't have to go get him. He loved horses, loves them. So anyway, that's part of the problem I feel, that people don't feel like their requests are being acted on. So
I just want to ask a question back to you, because point of information, the New York State Racing Fan Advisory Council, which was established 2 years ago, is the only one like this in the entire United States. There's no other state that has asked the fans to come together and advise the elected and official gaming regulators on the sport. We're very unique. Now, granted, we're new and we're trying, but we need your help. And I appreciate your thing, your comment. I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to get to your 25 other friends so they'll get the trust they need to talk to us, to try to keep this going, because believe me, we're not going to do it with 5 people at a table or 4 people at a table. We need the critical mass of racing fans to get behind the issues. So how do we get to your fans? You tell us that, because we want them to believe us.
Do whatever is necessary to stop that practice.
Okay.
Whatever is necessary. They don't want to hear about websites. They don't want to hear about proposals. They want it to stop. That's what they want. And if you stop it, I believe the beauty of race horsing will get your fans if you treat your customers right.
But just on your issue about the odds changing during the race, and we've heard that, I believe we heard that at Yonkers. We definitely heard that on the thoroughbred side. You would be a proponent of shutting down the betting a minute early, a minute before the race.
I would be a proponent of whatever addresses that difficulty. I'm not a technological expert about computers and late wagers and offshore sites. Whatever has to be done, do it. Because we are losing that critical mass, and that is one of the reasons why. People feel like it's a stacked deck. Rightly or wrongly, but they feel it. They believe that, and they walk out that door. We're all the poorer for it. So.
Does no TV money go in last second?
No.
Is it continuous?
It goes in cycles.
It goes throughout. There's no big drop at the end?
I think they're attempting to resolve this issue. I've heard some discussion on it by increasing the frequency of the cycle that the money is going into the overall pools. Mm-hmm. Previously, it had been, you know, big chunks of money would go in, you know, every maybe a minute and a half. That may be reduced down to every, you know, 10 to 15 seconds. I know that it's not something any one state can resolve. It's, you know, our money goes into Churchill's pools, Churchill's money goes into our pools. There's no state regulatory body that can make this, you know, go away. It's an industry thing. But if the Gaming Commission were to the industry as a whole,
this gentleman is absolutely correct. And I went to a racetrack in Ireland, and it was very interesting. There's two ways to bet. You go to the parimutuel window, the odds are changing like crazy. Or there, on the apron, there are legal bookies, and you take. They give you a horse. You lock in that 5-1, 4-1 before the race. It was fascinating. So I'd much rather bet with those guys. I like this horse at 3-1, not 9-5. That just changed. And I'm looking at this board now. By the way, it's much worse here than it is across the street. You know, looking at this board, $2, $2, $8. All the money comes in at the very end, and you have no idea what you're betting on. Your value just got killed. 1 second before post time, or like this gentleman says, during the race, it's ridiculous. At the end call. Now, I don't think the days of legal bookings are coming back to New York State, but everybody in Ireland would bet with those guys, very few lines for the tilt. The last thing, this fellow that I left, I'm a harness owner myself, he makes a very good point. It's a big problem in this game. It's a big problem in this game. And we see it across the street too. Guys that are 30 and 40% off the claim, or in this game, the horse that went four, five, six times in a row at the same claiming level, but don't get a claim, wonder what's going on there. Why don't you want this horse? So there's something going on in that barn, and everybody knows it, and nothing gets done about it. Now, I know it's a very difficult issue. It's very difficult, and Jeff Gorrell in New Jersey is trying very hard, and he's come up with a whole new approach, which I don't know if this is going to pass muster, but if he suspects them of cheating, either you play by his rules. You put a camera outside his barn, you go to his detention barn. We suspect you of cheating. We're going to have special eyes on you. It's going to be a different rule with you as opposed to the other trainers who went out. I'm a horse owner. It's very frustrating to me to watch guys that take 10 years to get run out of the game. That I've sat the fourth and fifth behind a guy that was second and third, and we couldn't get rid of the guy.
Does he do that?
He's still out there, and they're here too.
Does he do that at Tioga?
With the owners, I would not make the owner responsible. I would leave the game if I was vicariously responsible for the acts of my trainer. I could not take that chance of having my name affiliated with some type of cheating scam that I have no idea what's going on in that barn. I pop into my trainer's barn once every 2-3 weeks. I'm not there when the vet shows up. You know, I don't think making the owners responsible is the way to go. Like I said, I would leave the game. I'm a lawyer. I could not see my name in the newspaper over a cheating scandal. I wouldn't get involved in racing. I'll leave in a second. But the cheating that goes on out there, it's got to be addressed. And it's a difficult issue to do. I know, but it's tough.
First, I want to thank everyone for, number one, coming out today, but also being as forthcoming as you have been and as we've gone on. One real quick question, because of the events that we've had, I see there's a big cross-section of people here. It's important to know how people got involved in this and how we get new people here. So just by a show of hands, I'd like to see how many people had someone, their first experience of racing was either a family member that brought them to the racetrack or a friend. Those that didn't raise their hand, would you say that it was promotion that brought you here?
Just a quick story. I brought my own kids here something like 20 years ago. I used to be able to train. I went in the back in the thing and we saw
I wrote on it.
You met the guy that does the shoes and you met a trainer. You went on a train run. And that's how I started bringing my kids for 27 years.
Experience.
So.
And it was friendly.
From the show of hands, if, just in, it's a what if the racetrack management was to hand each one of you today a $5 voucher, 10 of them, that you couldn't use yourself, but you could hand out to a friend, would people do that? Thank you.
Just can I say one more thing, though? As a fan, very discouraging. I don't know how this could be addressed. I think metal fans did a little bit. Well, when you have a 1-9, possibly 1-20, because on their post 1-9, and the payoff is, you know, whatever. I don't know if they can set up the races different. I think they did like B1, B2, or something at Meadowlands.
Classification.
Classification.
Yeah.
The most discouraging thing, they say, what's the point of betting? I'm not. You know, you can bet it. Sure, you can win a super fan game and get paid. Let's say you do a 10-cent box super fan, $2.40. They sometimes pay $2.20. You hit a super fan. I mean, there's something wrong, discouraging to the fan. I don't know if they can be classified. I mean, you know, maybe it's non-winners at two, but this horse is phenomenal. Maybe you shouldn't be in that class or something. You know, shipping it from Yonkers and Meadowlands. It's just wrong. That discourages me.
I'll bring the mic for
you. No, I just...
We need a mic.
I agree that, you know...
Hold on. Just hold on. Let the mic stay. Everybody can hear you. Won't take a second. Just give us a second. Appreciate it.
No, I just agree that, you know, what the Meadowlands did is big because they went to, you know, classification system, you know, and you're talking, you know, they used that back in like the 70s and the early 80s when, you know, racing was, you know, a big thing. And back then, the races were really competitive and, you know, you didn't really get a whole lot of 1-5 shots winning at tracks left and right. And, you know, I mean, I started watching races, you know, back in the early 80s myself. And, you know, unfortunately what's gone on is with the, you know, with the new bikes and technology that we have and the aerodynamics of the bikes have changed the racing. And I think we just have to go, you know, I think we got to start going outside the box here and, you know, start trying to, you know, mix it up, classification systems. I mean, like I said, the Meadowlands have been, I mean, their racing really picked up last year. I mean, I've been a Meadowlands fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we actually brought the Light Bar National Anthem.
I just want to thank everybody for coming out, for your input. We'll stay around if you want to approach us individually. I just want to mention, too, my two children, before I came over here today, said, make sure you tell the people in charge over there we want to bring back the harness track mile. They used to have a race here. It was a road race, and the runners could come. The YMCA sponsored it, went around the track twice, and that was a great way to get young people involved in the sport. And it was a good way for me to convince my wife that I should come over here. So I'll just mention that. Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.
They didn't have it this year. They haven't had it in like 3 years. 3 or 4 years.
I ran it this year. I ran in it.
This year?
Oh, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
I ran in that thing. It took me 3 or 4 days.
Thank you very much. Yeah.